Don't be a fool, Ace. Trust nothing they say. Follow the money, make them all pay. Under a headline, over a beer, truth plainly told is what they most fear. Deadlines and dreamers someday we'll meet down at the dark end of Bird Street. Good morning. Welcome to Left Turn on Bird Street. Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it very much. My name is Dan Gowerthy, along with
Tom Nato.
Tom, let me turn your microphone up a little bit. Try that again.
Tom Nato.
Okay, that's much better. Thanks for joining us. We broadcast from KRBS 107.1 FM in Oroville, California, community-owned non-commercial radio.
The City of Gold in California.
Yes, and actually in the City of Gold today, it's actually not blue skies, kind of gray skies. Unusual for this time of year, actually.
Well, actually, with the heavy rain last night and previous days of low temperatures and more rain.
Right.
So I've asked people born here, is this unusual? It's unusual to me, but oh yeah, this is never like this.
Yeah,
this
it is.
Kind of year.
Well, I've been in Northern California for about 13 years now, and I can remember a few times where it rained in May, but not this often and not this heavy either. So
Global warming.
And that's one of the topics we're going to get to in an indirect way in a few minutes. Anyhow, thanks for joining us. And like we said, our program is called Left Turn on Bird Street, and we broadcast every other Monday from KRBS in Oroville, California. And we also invite you to take a look at our blog on the internet. It is, no, it's not the internet, Tom, it's the internets.
It's the internets. Both of them.
That's right, both of them. We're on the internets at www.ltobs.blogspot.com, or you can Google us simply by typing in LTOBS, and we'll come up at the top of your queue, and we invite you to take a look there, and you can leave comments for several of our stories. We have a very active comment board, so we invite you to take a look at that. So what do we got first off, Tom? What's on the top of the list this fine morning?
It's Sayonara Tony Blair.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When was the election, actually? Was it on last Thursday?
Yeah, they don't have them on Tuesday as we do.
Right.
They do it some oddball day like Thursday.
Right, right. Yeah, in fact, just as a side note, the one thing I like about the elections in England and parliamentary elections in general is that they'll call them, when I was in England in Easter time, it was about the time they called them, so it's about a six-week window. So you don't have this perpetual campaign that we have going on in the United States. It's like a very narrow window, and surprisingly, the politicians, Tony Blair, Howard, and the rest of them, they'll actually go on TV and they'll speak to real live people.
Really?
Real live people.
Well, you know, the
not stooges like George W. Bush does.
Well, you know, the disadvantage to short elections like that.
What's that?
Fewer television commercials. There's no money in
yeah,
it.
That's,
you know, there's a communications industry interest in having these to be really long, building up more and more money for longer periods of time.
You're true. It used to be a cottage industry. Now it's just an industry, I guess.
Right. I don't think that they could shorten it up, because look at the people who would put out of work.
That's true. A lot of consultants alone.
Yeah.
It's the Consultants Employment Act, I guess, the elections in the United States. Anyhow, go ahead, Tom.
Well, anyway, from the independent newspaper in England, which is one of the best, Tony Blair's most senior cabinet colleagues plan to urge him to stand down, which means to not run again, within 18 months, because he lost seats for Labour at last week's election. Even normally loyal ministers want him to resign by the time the party holds its conference in September 2006, 2 years earlier than Mr. Blair wishes.
Ooh.
Left-wing MPs, those are members of Parliament, will demand this week that Mr. Blair drops controversial plans for identity cards. Sound familiar?
Very.
And are threatening to mount a leadership challenge against him this autumn. That's pretty quick. And I think that we want to tell you more about the situation in England, although we don't care about it. The fact is that Bush's biggest supporter,
Tony Blair,
also a liar to the people.
Yes.
on the way out.
Yes. You know, when I was in England, I think there was a certain ambivalence towards Blair. The conservatives, the people that I talked to when I was visiting there, didn't necessarily, it was like the, I guess maybe it's like the common phrase in American elections, Blair was viewed as the lesser of two major evils between the conservatives and the Labour Party. I think the economic support of the people, but the policy, there was great ambivalence towards Blair when I was over there. And it's obvious that, you know, the ambivalence showed in that he won, but he won, you know, it was a very narrow narrow victory.
Well, actually, he ended up with 65 seats,
mm-hmm.
plurality. I mean, it's
right.
more of them, which is handy enough to govern,
right.
but not enough to launch an international war plan. And,
right.
So, yeah, he's it's just such a clear sign. And, you know, people will agree with you until you start losing.
Right.
You know, even if you're right and you're losing, they don't care. They politicians want to win and stay in office, so they're ruining their prospects for keeping their jobs. So his party, his cadre, they're saying out.
Yeah. What do you think the implications are as it relates to the United States and Iraq on this, though? Do you think this is a kind of a chink in the armor for Bush? Is it going to hurt?
Well, Bush is not going to run for re-election
anyway,
right? So, but it's a chink in the armor for anybody who plans from the Republican side to replace him.
Or Democratic side, for that matter, too.
None of that, but that means zip allies for any planned invasion of Iran,
right,
which certainly was in the works,
right,
or Syria for that matter,
right.
So essentially the United States is now alone.
Well, yeah, I think that's probably the biggest point here, is that, you know, our forays into the Middle East were going to be we were virtually alone anyhow, but now we're really going to be alone if Blair is ousted here within the next few months. That story said by September.
That's when the campaign to oust him would start. They're officially giving him 18 months, but
yeah,
I
right.
think it's going to be more like by Christmas.
Right, that's what I thought it was. That's what I had read, the 18-month period. So.
And we've been right in the past.
Yes, we have. So, Tom, make a
believe
prediction.
Believe it or not.
When is Blair going to be out of office, do you think? What's their time frame?
Okay, see, this 6 months by either let's say March.
March?
Yeah, March.
So you're giving him about 10 months.
Yeah, 10 months. I'd like to see him up by January, if not yesterday.
Why quicker? Just because of his...
I think it sends a clearer message around the world that this war is a bummer. It's not supported. And you don't like people who lie. There was an interview on Democracy Now! That we played this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Which, one of the wonderful people with those terrific British accents and a party
yes.
leader was saying that, well, he was found to be lying to the people, which is can be seen as a disadvantage.
A very kind of deadpan delivery.
Yes, it is sort of a
Quite.
Disadvantage to be caught out lying and killing people.
Well, you know, the question then becomes for us, or for the United States, our involvement there, we're going to be going it alone. Do you think that will be enough to stop Bush and Rumsfeld and Cheney and the whole crew from planning an invasion of Iran?
Nope.
No. So
are living in a different universe.
You're going out on a limb here. You're going to make another prediction that... that we are going, we being the United States, are going to invade Iran sometime between
yep.
now
I think
and the end of the year.
Their method of operation would indicate from the past,
mm-hmm.
indicate in the future that seeing bad news possibly coming,
mm-hmm.
hurry up to do worse,
right.
so they'll embroil the country into it so you can't back out.
Okay,
that's what they did here, and we'll do it again.
Well, let's look at a calendar then. If we're looking at a calendar and... say Blair is ousted by, you know, the timing might be real good for him.
The timing on Iran
mm-hmm.
Is not connected. It was already planned before the results of the election for Blair came in. They're talking June and July into Iran.
Right.
So it'll probably be, we're now May. They're going to hurry up and jury-rig some sort of excuse, international Tonkin Gulf. There's a great story that I read that I didn't bring in today in which they were looking at the past wars.
Mm-hmm.
Spanish-American War,
right.
based on a lie.
Right.
World War One, based on a lie.
Right.
That is to say, our entry into it.
Right.
They're not saying about World War II in this particular article, but they did mention that there's all that question about whether Roosevelt knew in advance about the attack. And then there's some talk out there about South Korea actually starting the war with North Korea. And, of course, Vietnam, which we manufactured out of Tonkin Gulf.
Right.
So although there's irrefutable evidence for Spanish War, Spanish-American War, World War One, and Vietnam, with indications but not proof positive for World War Two and Korea, and of course we have Iraq, we have a history of going to war on lies. And
right.
I find it interesting to note that the things that, that were used to start these wars, it's always been like naval oriented. The bombing of the Maine, which they found now actually exploded from its own
missiles.
Well, its own boiler.
Oh, is it the boiler?
Okay. There. And then, of course, the Lusitania was the
World War One.
Which turns out now the divers have gotten down to be actually loaded with the weapons that the Germans said it was trafficking with.
Right.
And then, of course, Vietnam, which was the Tonkin Gulf thing, which was, of course,
that was really jury-rigged.
Yeah,
that one was rigged really, 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 and that's unfortunate because that's you're right. In all three of these examples, it led us into deadly wars. Now, so what? Just speculation. We're going to place a bet on the internet.
Speculate. That's my stock.
Analyze. <trade. laughs> Do you? What do you think we're going to? We being the United States, or not we? Because I'm not. Makes it sound like I'm part of it. But them, the Bush administration.
Well, you know, when the ship sinks, all hands go. Whether
that's true
blame or not.
That's true. So when the Bush administration comes up with their excuse, what do you think the excuse is going to be? Some sort of they call it a naval brigade with some nuclear warheads or some rigged up charge like that, or?
Well, they've been trying to set it up over this suspicions that Iran is building a nuclear reactor, from which they're going to get the materials to also create a bomb.
Right.
That's what they've been working on for a long time. But I think this we wore that one out with
Iraq.
With Saddam.
Right.
But I think this time is that we led the way for Israel in the last one. This time, I think Israel is going to stage a aerial attack that, of course, as allies, we'll have to support. We'll let them drag us into it.
Yeah, that's good. That makes a lot of sense, actually, Tom.
Of course, they're going to have to explain afterwards how, with billions of dollars over there, we allowed a Israeli air force to go right over Iran, unless I guess they go around by way of Antarctica, to hit Iran. But in truth, who cares? That's reality-based information, and we know, because they've self-avowed it, that they don't participate in that.
You know, on the subject of Iraq, and this wasn't on our agenda, and I want to just take a quick little detour, or a left turn, if you will, since you're listening to Left Turn on Bird Street. You know, since the installation of the Iraqi cabinet, I think it was April 28th, do you know how many bombings and killings there have been in Iraq?
The ones that they reported or actually?
The ones that are reported.
Thousands.
Well, they have reported 300 deaths, and it's like there's an explosion every day.
Oh, you mean talking about in recent times?
Yes, since April 28th. 300. So, just as a side note, you know what I found very interesting? We were talking about this.
There's a few hangers on, won't say dive, off the beat.
Right. Now, what I found very interesting as I was looking on the internets last night about stories and information and just updating myself, and I've been following the bombings that have been daily occurrences over there. I mean, and these are not... Yeah. I mean, these are not explosions that are killing one or two people. These are explosions that are killing 40, 50 people. I mean...
Primarily innocent people who had nothing to do with anything.
Right. They're just innocent bystanders. And so it hasn't really been getting that much media play. I mean, it'll be buried. So I go on the internets last night, and, you know, of course, there were 7 Americans killed yesterday or Sunday in Iraq, and that was the top story. And it always amazes me how we've gone to Iraq, and we're basically responsible for the deaths of a lot of innocent people. Most of the victims there have been innocent people, in fact, in just 300 since April 28th by suicide explosions And, you know, it's in the media and people are, you know, it's getting reported, but it isn't really being really reported. You know, the awareness isn't up there. All of a sudden, seven American troops, which is unfortunate, of course, you know, and they should be reported. But, man, those seven deaths of those seven American troops way over trumped the deaths of 300, you know, innocent Iraqis.
You're a newsman. You've heard the expression local angle.
Yeah, of course.
It's got the local angle to begin with. And yeah, but it also displays an incredible lack of concern about others.
Right. You know, and that's a part that amazes me is that who's really the blame in this? Is it the media? Is it ourselves because we don't American people really don't care about this, and I think it's the latter, because I think American people are so disconnected from it. You know, I was listening to a conversation the other day about last week was the 35th anniversary of Kent State, the killing of four students there who were involved in anti-war demonstrations by the Ohio National Guard. Four students were killed in the protests and whatnot. And it occurred to me, you know, one big difference between then and now, why students aren't as active, and this is maybe the disconnect in American society, is two words: the draft. There's no draft. So people here in the United States, they're going around and, you know, their kids don't have to go to the service. They don't necessarily know people that are going to service. So if it's not happening to them, it doesn't really matter. You know, 300 people killed in the last couple of weeks because of our occupation of Iraq. Oh, well, that's too bad. It's a price we have to pay. But, you know, I think that's where maybe the big disconnect is.
I think that's a big factor, but there are some others that are more subtle, I think.
Like what?
Like one is that, college has gotten more expensive.
Right.
And scholarships have been basically done away with.
Mm-hmm.
So you have more rich people going to college.
Right.
Than poor.
Right.
And it's the poor that are used to a system being screwed by it.
Right, that's true.
And more politically sensitive. Everything is fine for the rich people.
Right.
So they don't have to worry about things like
right.
that. So they're not interested because they plan to spend their vacation in Switzerland and their lifetime on the Riviera.
Right. Yeah, well, that's true. In the all-draft army, or the all-volunteer army, I'm sorry, you're right. And I can speak from experience on this. It's very expensive, you know, for even middle-class family to send a kid to college. Very expensive, let me tell you. I can't believe how much has gone up since I was in school 30 years ago. And so for people that are even below middle-class, they have a built-in kind of pool of applicants. And I know we've talked about this on the show before, but I can't tell you how, in the last couple of years, I've had to go to school to pick up one of my sons for dentist appointments and whatnot. Go into the attendance office, and you know, you look out there in the quad, and who are there? There's four or five Marines, you know, in their dress uniforms out there trolling for recruits, you know.
Cannon fodder.
You know, this brings up one other thing. I know we're getting way off topic on this. I don't know if you happen to read this, but there was, and this really shouldn't come as any surprise, because the Army is having,